Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, when God wants to get our attention, He repeats the same thing two or even three times. That is why the Ten Commandments are in Exodus chapter 20 and again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. The Ten Commandments are an exceedingly important part of the Bible. The Lord's Prayer is also important, for it is a model for all the prayers of God's people, which is why you find it not once, but twice in the Bible. The parable of the sower and the seed is also very important. This parable is one of the few parables that appear not twice, but three times in the Bible. This parable not only appears three times, but Jesus Christ's explanation of it is repeated three times in Scripture. Jesus states the parable of the sower and the seed in a universal way. It is not just for people in Palestine in Jesus' day. It is for people in every place and in every time throughout human history. The parable just has a few essential parts. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." To sow is to plant. He sows or plants his seed, and there are varied results. You've all probably had the same experience when you've tried to plant flower seed, or vegetable seed, or tree seed. Jesus Christ intends this parable to be a universal picture of the preaching of the gospel and the growth of God's kingdom in this world. That means that you are in this parable. You are all hearing the preaching of God's word right now. If you will listen and think, you will find yourself in the parable of the sower and the seed. It might be that you find yourself in the first category of this parable. The preaching of the gospel is like sowing seeds. Even though the seed you plant is the same, the ground you plant it in is different, and therefore the seed is not fruitful everywhere. The seed does not always fall on fertile and well-tilled soil. The first category is the seed that fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured the seed. The problem is not in the sower who sows the seed. Jesus Christ is the greatest preacher the earth has ever heard. Jesus Christ faithfully sowed the seed of God's word when He ministered here on this earth. When Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, He sent out faithful preachers of the word of God to go into all the world. Christ continues to send out faithful preachers of God's word in every generation to do His work in the gathering of His people and in the advancement and growth of His kingdom. In this parable, Jesus Christ is not discussing the false preachers, or the preachers who preach their own ideas, or the preachers who say what the people want to hear. They are not sowing the good seed of the Word of God. In this universal parable, our Lord Jesus Christ is describing Himself and all of those ministers of Christ throughout history who really preach the true gospel and the pure Word of God. We know from God's holy word that Christ has commanded His church to preach the gospel to every creature in every age. Woe to that minister of Christ who withholds God's word from any human being. I recognize that you, just like I, are made in the image of God. God created you for fellowship with the Almighty. You must have eternal life through Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world, or you will perish forever. God calls you through His holy word to have part with Jesus in heaven for all eternity. In the Great Commission, Christ has clearly commanded His ministers to preach the gospel to every person. That is why the sower or preacher goes forth to sow the seed of God's word on all the different kinds of soil or on all the different kinds of people. The second thing that we can see at once is that the problem is not in the seed. The seed is the Word of God. The Word of God is pure, perfect, holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, sufficient, clear, and authoritative. There's no defect in the seed. The seed is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The seed is the good news of salvation to sinners. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is good news for man who is lost in sin and hurtling toward eternal destruction. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, we read that the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears My word and believes in Him who sent Me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." The good news of the gospel is that God Almighty, in His infinite love and compassion for sinners, has devised a way to save sinners who deserve eternal damnation. Sowing seed or preaching the word of God is the proclamation, the authoritative, authorized proclamation of that good news. Is there a way that you can be saved from God's just wrath and eternal punishment for your sins? The answer is yes. That is the purpose of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to this earth as both true God and true man, to suffer, to die, and to rise again from the dead. It is all about the salvation of God's sheep. In the parable in Matthew chapter 13, the seed is the same. The seed is the true gospel of Christ, the word of the living God, which is preached to all these different kinds of people. In this first category of the parable, Jesus tells us there are two problems. First, the problem is the condition of the hearts of the people who receive God's word or the gospel. Second, the problem is the swift work of the evil one, our enemy, the devil. Some seed fell by the wayside. The wayside is the path or road on which people travel from one place to another. A path or road can become so hard that even the rain is not able to penetrate that soil. It just runs off the road and soaks into other ground. When you sow seed on a road, the seed just sits on the surface. The birds come and they eat it. They eat the seed till it's all gone. Jesus Christ uses this illustration to teach us that some people's hearts are so hard that the preaching of God's word does not penetrate into their hearts and into their minds. They hear God's word with their ears. They hear the word of God's kingdom. They hear the gospel of salvation from sin in Jesus Christ, and they do not understand it. It is like Greek to them. As they say in Spanish, no comprendo. The word of God just sits outside them, as it were. And the wicked one comes and snatches away the word of God from them before it has penetrated into their hearts and minds and lives. There are dirt roads, I am told, in Europe, which the Roman armies built that became so hard that even after more than 1,000 years, you still could not grow any seed in that pathway or road. That is the way it is with the hearts of some people. If people who hear God's word are so close to the well-traveled path of this world, their hearts might be so hard that God's word never really makes any impression on them. We live in a generation in which this is a particularly great danger for so many people. A century ago, when a farmer went outside to work on his farm, there was not much he could do except think and meditate, because there was not anyone to talk to and there was no noise other than the noise of his work. Today, a farmer in his field or in his barn can turn on the radio or his favorite CD, and the world can blare into his ear, into his heart, into his mind all day long. I grew up without a television. Just a generation ago, that was common. People did not have television to entertain them. People entertained themselves by reading, by singing, by playing musical instruments, by playing games, by conversing with other people. When people traveled down the road with a team of horses, they might sing a little while. They might hum something to themselves. They might pray. They might think about something that had happened recently. Or they might just meditate upon the Word of God or on some valuable truth or lesson. That's not the way most people live today. Today they turn on the radio or the cassette tape or the CD player or the MP3 player. And the world is constantly bombarding our minds and our ears. My car has had an AM radio, but it quit working. And I rather like it that way because it gives me quiet so that I can pray for all of you and other needs as I drive down the road. I can think about important things that really matter. Television not only blares this sinful world into your ears, but it parades this sinful world before your eyes. Today, perhaps more than in any previous generation, we are constantly in danger of the world's interests and the world's concerns and the world's priorities and the world's standards bombarding our hearts and our minds and our souls so that we become hard to God's truth and God's word, so that we cannot receive the gospel and we cannot understand it. Our hearts can also become hard and closed to God's Word from constant association with unbelievers, with scoffers, with mockers, with the immoral, with the wicked. It always concerns me when I see members of the Church of Jesus Christ who really have their central or main fellowship not with other believers, but with unbelieving friends, with the wicked and immoral and ungodly of this world. When people constantly associate with people who are not Christ's, there is the constant tendency for that ungodly influence to harden their hearts to Jesus Christ and His Word. The world's values, the world's moral standards are completely contrary to God and His Word and His will and His law that He has given us. When the heart of man is hard like that, the person might come to church on Sunday and he might hear God's Word for a few moments, but it really does not make much of an impression on him. God's Word does not really get down far in that person below the surface. And therefore Satan is quick to seize the advantage by coming and snatching God's Word away from the heart. Satan snatches away the morning sermon so that it cannot really make much of an impression. The Bible says that Satan has many devices. One of Satan's devices is to make you sleepy. Just at the moment when the Word of God might be sharp enough to penetrate through that hard surface, you feel sleepy and you switch your mind off. You do not hear a thing. Just at the point where the Word of God is beginning to be a bit sharp, you get distracted. Perhaps it's a noise somewhere outside the church building. A thought fleeting through your mind about your daily life, about your work, about your occupation, about your family, about your relatives or friends. Whatever distracts you, it is like a winged bird. Comes and suddenly frustrates the possibility that the Word of God, which you have just been hearing, should make any lasting impression upon you. One of the reasons why it is so difficult for the Word of God to make any impression upon people today is because people do not have a Sabbath day anymore. Not that long ago in this country, the first day of the week was the Sabbath day. It was a quiet day. It was not only the fact that you did not work on the Lord's Day, but also the fact that you did not preoccupy yourself with worldly entertainment. And therefore, there was a real opportunity for the Word of God to make an impression on you. People used to joke about having the preacher for dinner, which meant that they talked over the sermon at Sunday dinner because that was the Lord's Day. It was a time set apart for something quiet and spiritually edifying. Through all of Satan's devices, and there are many more, and the fact that the heart is already trodden down by the world, the Word of God never gets a chance. It's snatched away and never makes any saving impression. There may be some who sit here today who are like this. Today, if you have actually seen yourself in the first category of Jesus' parable, I have one bit of encouraging news for you. You do not have to be stuck in this category that Jesus Christ describes in this parable. You can escape from one category to another. I know know that because of notable examples of people who did escape from one category to another. For example, the man who wrote Psalm 73 was Asaph. He says in Psalm 73, verse 22, that at one time he was so foolish and ignorant, like a beast before God. There was a time when he was just like that person Jesus has been describing in this parable. The Word of God could not get through to him. It might even encourage you to know that some of Jesus' own disciples were quite ignorant and hard-hearted and trodden down by the world. In Luke chapter 18, verse 34, we read that the disciples understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. The Apostle Paul himself had a hard heart at one time. The Word of God rolled off him like water off a duck's back. He did not listen to Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7. He did not accept a word of it. It was not until God Almighty shone a bright light from heaven when Paul was on the road or the path to Damascus. God blinded Paul for 3 days and spoke to him from heaven, and then Paul finally listened carefully to God's word and believed and was saved and became a sower of the seed of the Word of God eventually. There will be people in the kingdom of heaven who heard this parable and suddenly realized for the first time that this was a description of them. In that very moment, when they began to realize that this was a description of them, do you know what is happening? The Word of God is beginning to make an impression. What should a person do who recognizes himself in this parable to be a wayside hearer? The first thing he should do is eliminate some of Satan's advantages. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." The Bible says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." One of the best ways to resist the devil is just an act of negation. Do not turn the radio on as soon as you leave church. Do not run home and turn your television on. Do not get up from the worship service and immediately converse on a worldly level. Cage up the birds for a change, so that they cannot come and devour the seed of God's Word that has been preached to you before it can ever take any root in your heart and mind and life. The second thing a person should do who recognizes himself in this parable as a wayside hearer is to try to hold on to God's word so that the wicked one cannot snatch it away immediately. The Bible says one of the primary means of holding on to God's word that has been preached is meditation. And that is exactly what Psalm 1 goes on to say. Blessed is the man who does not associate and sit with the wicked and the scorners, but instead meditates on God's law day and night. All the time, he's thinking about and meditating on the Word of God. Meditation is one of the great remedies for this condition that Jesus describes in this parable. Meditation is thinking about what you have heard and applying it to your thoughts and to your words and to your life and to your attitude and to your whole purpose in life. Meditation is savoring every morsel of God's Word. You and I need to realize that when we come to God's house to worship Him, we have a higher privilege than going to the White House as the honored guest of the President of the United States. Even though God's Word only comes through a lowly human servant, yet the fact remains that the God of heaven speaks to you every Lord's Day through the Gospel. He has chosen this method. It pleases God through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. God has commanded ministers to preach the Gospel in season and out of season. What an awesome privilege we have to meet with God in His most holy place in heaven when we gather as a congregation for public worship. What an awesome privilege we have to gather twice each Lord's Day as the special guests of the Lord and to hear God speak to us through the reading and the preaching of His Word. If that does not impress you, and you do not want to savor every morsel of the truth of God that has come to you through diligent attendance and meditation, you're missing the point of this parable. Do not let the world weigh down your heart. Do not let the winged messengers of the devil always snatch God's Word away from you. No, meditate on God's Word. Think about it. Turn it over in your mind. Apply it in your life. Apply it in your family. Apply it in your church. Apply it in your work. Apply it in the world. Can you remember a sermon that you heard 25 years ago? 30 years ago? I can. I remember sermons that I heard as a child because they made such an impression on me. I thought about it over and over and over again. And I thought it over so much that it is a permanent part of me. Still to this day, it has an impact on me. The third thing that you should do if you recognize yourself in this parable as a wayside hearer is speak about God's Word. In the book of Malachi, we read about people who are living in a time of religious declension. People all around them did not care a bit about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the danger was that these godly people would be carried right along with that spiritual indifference. What did they do? Look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. If you are concerned about your eternal life, then you will want to talk with other believers about the things of God. The book of Proverbs says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." You need fellowship with other believers. You need to hear what they say and what they think. You need to ask questions and to get answers. You need conversations with God's people. True believers understand this. God's Word from heaven should generate conversation among believers. God's Word is something special, something great, something supernatural, something powerful, effective, and glorious. If you are interested in your own eternal salvation, you will want to have conversation about God's Word with other Christian believers. The fourth thing you should do, if you see yourself in this parable as the wayside hearer, is act upon God's Word when you hear it. John chapter 7, verse 17, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "If anyone wills to do His will, he will know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." That seems backward to us. Do you not have to first know and then do? Not always. If you really want to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true, start by obeying right now something that you have heard from God's Word. You should turn off the world. You should think about God's holy Word. You should seek the fellowship of other believers so that you can frequently be in conversation about the things of God. Act upon those things, and Almighty God will give you knowledge of the truth. Do you remember Felix in the book of Acts, chapter 24? Paul was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Felix began to feel the power of the Word of God. As Paul reasoned of righteousness and judgment, Felix began to squirm. What did Felix do? Did he act upon it? No, he decided to delay. He said, "Paul, go away for now. When I have a more convenient time, I will call for you." That more convenient time never came for Felix, because he had deliberately given the devil the opportunity to come and to snatch away the Word of God. Preaching is most effective at the moment you hear it. It's while you are hearing it that you need to receive it. Lay it up in your heart. Meditate upon it, and then practice it in your life. My dear brother, my dear sister, the issue is truly momentous. There is a true and living God. There will be a day of judgment. Some people will be saved forever to dwell in glory with Jesus Christ. Some will be lost forever in hell. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The worm will never die. The fire will never go out. Almighty God, in His infinite wisdom, has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. This is the way God has chosen. Christ saves you by the means of the sowing of the seed of the good news of Jesus Christ through preaching. That means that your eternal welfare depends on how you respond to the gospel. Listen to God's warning to the wayside hearer in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 22 through 33. "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel, and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Listen to God's word and live. Amen. O Lord our God, how hard of heart we are. How slow to listen and believe and understand and obey your word. Forgive us, we pray. Father, we pray that we all might see ourselves in this parable of the seed and the sower. And Father, if we see ourselves in this first category of those who are like the road, so hard that your word does not even impress us or penetrate our thoughts and minds, be merciful, we pray. Be merciful, and by the mighty power of your Holy Spirit, give us a new heart. And cause us, Father, to hear, to understand, to believe, and to obey you. We pray, O God, that we might turn away from wickedness, turn away from the world, turn away from not acting upon your word, not listening carefully, not trying to understand, not meditating upon it. Father, deliver us from such blindness. Deliver us from such wickedness. Father, you alone are the sovereign Creator and Savior. And therefore we cry out to you because you have the words of life and you are able to make us to hear the sowing of that seed, the preaching of your word. Open our ears. Open our eyes, open our minds, that we might hear and live. And may your word run and be exalted even to the ends of the earth, that people might hear and understand and believe and repent and obey and live forever and ever with you in heaven. We thank you, Father, that you've given us a part in that great work of preaching the gospel. Through the gifts that we bring today, use them, we pray, for your glory unto that end. In Jesus' name, amen.